To be able to worship Jesus, to be able to know Him, what a privilege that we get to know Him, that we get to know our Creator, to know the One who has put every star in its place, that we get to know Him, we get to have a relationship with Him. What an incredible privilege that is. This morning I'm gonna read a chapter or quite a portion of scripture, but before I do that, I'm gonna read from John 15. But before I do that, I'm just even the context of where that's taking place is actually in the Last Supper. It's just taken place. Jesus is with His disciples, so it's the small intimate space. They've just shared a meal together. He's broken bread. Jesus has gone and he's taken His outer garment off. He's gone down and He's washed His disciples' feet. And I think that on its own must have been such a statement for His disciples, them sitting there still considering what is happening, that Jesus, the Messiah, would go down and wash their feet. And then Jesus is sharing with them that actually that he is going to be leaving them. Judas has just left to betray Jesus, so the Lord knows that the crucifixion is coming. This is the last moment that He has actually with the disciples, and this, you can imagine how it would have just been, so the environment would have just been so emotionally charged. The disciples thinking like, why is Jesus washing my feet? Now He's telling me that He's going. They might have been confused as to what's happening. And it's in this space that Jesus then brings John 15. And so we're going to read from that this morning. You can put up that. And I think Jesus was actually, because He goes on from John 15, He actually goes on to John 16 and further on John 15 and then John 16. It talks about persecution. He's talking about the world hated me, they will hate you. And right in between all of this, Jesus brings John 15, verse 1 to 17. And it's almost like the Lord was trying to settle them. Like He was trying to settle them in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of what is to come. Jesus knew that He was going to the cross. He knew that He was going to be crucified. And we see this passage of Scripture. I want to start with verse 1 for those that are following in the Bibles. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. That it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch. Like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. In verse 12, it says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Oh Lord, we want to just thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word that you have given. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that even as you shared this with your disciples, Lord Jesus, that this word still holds true for us today. And Lord, I pray that you would bless your word this morning, Lord. Would you bless your word this morning? And I pray, Father God, that you would help us to hear your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply your word to our lives. Thank you, Jesus. And so we see even Jesus starting just saying that he is the true vine, and that actually that outside of him, that we are the branches, but outside of him, if we are not connected to him, if there's no connection, there is no life source flowing. He is life. And we only find life in Christ. We can try and find it in other things, but it's not going to be a life that sustains us, that keeps us going. It will cause us to wither up and die. But within Christ is where we find life, and the life source flows in him. And so we see that even that, like Jesus is calling us to abide. Some scriptures, translations actually said remain. It's that abiding, remaining in him is where we're going to find the source of life and be able to live out this life. But at the same time, Jesus is warning us that those that the branches that are dead, that are not bearing fruit, will be cut off. And then at the same time, those that do bear fruit, he will prune. Who's experienced the Lord's pruning in their lives? Hey? It's not always comfortable, but it's good. It's good. Because we know who it is that is the one that is the vine dresser. God is the one. And I just love that picture. Like if you think about a wine dresser, you think about God, like he is so attentive. He is up close. He's considering the branches. He's getting right up close to us. And he's coming alongside and he's going, I want you to bear more fruit. And I'm gonna prune you where I need to prune you. I'm going to cut off the things that are going to hinder you from actually being able to bear more fruit. And so the Lord comes in and he works amongst us. He works in our lives so that we can actually become more Christ-like and bear fruit for his glory. Amen. And so we know that we need the Lord to come and do that work in our lives. And the thing is, it's even, I was just considering last week as Coops was with us, and he brought us such a great reminder of Jesus being our treasure. Woo. Jesus being our treasure. And when we truly see Christ as our treasure, that changes everything for us. It changes everything for us. It becomes the very reason, it becomes the very why we do what we do. Is because he is our everything and he is worth everything. And so at the same time as I consider the word that Goops brought last week, the more, and I've said to my com has heard snippets of this because I've been considering this whole week. But actually it was such a weighty word that he brought last week. It was actually, there was parts when he was talking about hell last week, I was going, yo, this is a sobering reminder. A sobering reminder of what we've been saved from, but a sobering reminder for what lies ahead for those that have not put their faith in Christ. And so we've got to be those that are hearing the word of God as it comes, because this is what we've just read of how we abide, is actually we allow the word of God to actually come in and penetrate our hearts. And so we know the word of God, we see in Hebrews 4, verse 12 to 13, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Like the Lord knows the condition of our hearts. He knows what needs, He needs to come and prune, what He needs to cut off, what He needs to prune in us to shape us. And so we see that the Word of God is actually is one of the things that, that actually is like a double-edged sword that comes and pierces and cuts. And I want to read from Matthew 13. So even as the Word came, is what is the condition of our hearts? How are we receiving the Word of God? Because we can come Sunday in, Sunday out. We can come on a Wednesday to your community. We can read the Word of God. But what is it doing? Because God is wanting us to be a people that bear fruit. He wants a harvest to come of it. And so we know earlier in Matthew 13, he's talking about the parable of the sower, sowing the seed. There's the four different soils or the ground that it lands on. And then later on, Jesus explains to his disciples, he expounds on of what this means. And he says from verse 18, so Matthew 13, verse 18, it says, "Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth. So no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted." And so even there, it's like as the word comes out, even last week, as the word was brought last week, many were going, "Yo, that was such a good word, and we received it with joy." But what has been the outworking this week of that word in our hearts? How has that shaped us? Or did we receive that word and walked out, and it was almost like those birds that came and ate those seed of the path? Because if we had walked out here and it was immediately we forgot about it or didn't consider it, it's almost like the enemy had snatched it away from us. Or maybe we received it with joy, but actually as we went out, the weeds, the worries, the concerns of this life, the lure of wealth, it quickly came in and just drowned it out. And so we've constantly got to be bringing our hearts before the Lord and allowing the Lord to cultivate our hearts, to in a sense plow our hearts, to keep those our hearts soft, to be able to receive the Word of God and allow it to take root and actually produce a harvest. Because even as what we've read in Matthew 13, as well as what we've read in John 15, is actually that God is looking for fruitfulness. He's looking for harvest. He's looking for not informed lives, but transformed lives. He's not looking for us just to have gained head knowledge or understanding, but actually for our lives to be changed and transformed by the Word of God. Are you with me? And so we've got to allow the Word to penetrate our hearts. And so we see that even as times where it comes through, God will use the Word as a two-edged sword to come and prune, to highlight areas in our hearts that He's wanting to cut away. There's times where God will use, I'm just jumping around in my notes, through discipline, where the Lord will discipline us. Why? Because He loves us and He sees us as children of God. And in Hebrews 12, I don't know if I gave you the scripture, but in Hebrews 12, verse 6, it says, "For the Lord disciplines those He loves, Sometimes we can go through what feels like pruning, but it's actually we're coming under the discipline of the Lord in order for Him to shape us in what He's calling us into. Sometimes it's through trials and suffering that we go through that God will use to prune us. We don't always like that one. But God uses everything for our good. We see that in James 1:3. It says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow." And the Lord will take us through times which feel difficult or feel like we're going through suffering, but it's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for us to bear fruit in our lives. And then there's times where the Lord will use the Holy Spirit to come and bring conviction. Where the Lord will, you'll be sitting and the word will come and you feel that little niggle in your heart. And you know that the Lord is speaking and that you need to respond. Matt, you want to share what you shared in the prayer time this morning? Put on the spot this morning.
Might feel a little bit hypocritical at times, but I just felt the Lord saying to me this week that when we don't respond to Him, when we don't respond to that conviction in our hearts, it's not just neutral. It's actually a slap in the face to the Creator of the universe, the one who hung on the cross for us and gave us our salvation, the undeserved salvation. And I don't think we always consider the ripple effect of even what seems like a minor conviction placed on our hearts, and just responding or not responding to that could change other people's lives. There's salvations. There's other people's eternity at stake here. And, you know, His ways aren't our ways. His thoughts aren't our thoughts. And our thoughts are super limited in terms of what we think the effect is. And we also don't do that out of just duty to Ray or any of the elders. Yeah, we do this because we love Him deeply. And that's the heart posture to come with. Yeah, I think that was it that came up. But, an example. So this weekend, I had another friend at a wedding, and he also struggled with addiction for a long time, and he's kind of got out of it, but not through the Lord. And I felt like this conviction on my heart that maybe I should go share something about my salvation with him. And I didn't respond immediately, and then the opportunity was gone. And now I look back, and I think, sure, like, I might have missed the opportunity to bring salvation to this person and to impact this person's eternity. And his life touches so many other lives as well. And yeah, so I just encourage everyone to hear what the Lord's placing on your heart and to respond, no matter how small it seems.
And I think even just for us, it's like the Lord brings conviction. This is part of His way, is that He would bring conviction to us because that leads us to repentance. It should stir us to come to a place of going, Lord, there's this thing that You've touched on that actually is either it's sinful, it's grieved You, it's not helpful. And the Lord's highlighting that because He wants us to respond to Him in repentance. We see even on a Sunday, there's times where a word is brought and a call has been made for prayer to respond. If the Lord has highlighted something in your heart, is actually that we would respond. And I want to encourage us as a congregation, because I feel like even last Sunday, the word that was brought was a warning that came through for us. And it was a very sobering reminder. But for me, the response was actually minimal. If we consider the word, and many have said afterwards, yo, that was such a spot-on word, or that was a challenging word, but then I consider the response, and I want to encourage us as a congregation, would we grow in our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? Would we grow in our obedience? Because Jesus, even as we read in John 15, Jesus says, if we love Him, we obey His commands. And so the outworking of the love of God and our love for God, the outworking of that is actually obedience in our lives. And actually that we would be a people that are quick to obedience. That we wouldn't delay, that we would actually, if the Lord touches on something in our lives, that we would be those that would be quick to respond. And I want to, because I was chatting with some this week and just going like, Did you feel like the Lord highlighted something last Sunday that you needed to respond for prayer? And they said, yes. And then I said, but why didn't you come forward for prayer when the call was made? And some it was pride that held them back. And for some, it was the fear of man that held them back from responding. And I want to encourage us, may we consider more of the Lord than what we do of the fear of what man's going to think. That actually the enemy would use that to cripple us, to hold us back from actually stepping forward into what God has for us. God has torn the veil. He's given us the opportunity to be able to come into his presence. And there's times, even on a Sunday, where the Lord is busy doing something in this moment where he's calling us to obedience. He's calling us to respond, and that we would have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. That if we hear the Lord, that we would respond. And in Hebrews 3:15, it says, as has been said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. And so there's even this New Testament, there's this warning of going like, don't be like, looking back at the Israelites, don't be like them that was rebelling against the Lord. That even for us, when we hear the voice of the Lord, that we would be those that would be quick to respond, even if it's the smallest niggle of conviction that God's bringing, the smallest thing in our heart going like, I'm not even sure, but I'm rather going to respond to the Lord. Because why? Lord, I want you to prune me. I want, if there's anything in me. Why? Because he's our treasure. And that's got to be our response, is actually like, Jesus is my treasure. He is my everything. I will lay down everything for him. And if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to the Lord, Lord, I want to rather respond to you. I rather want to become sensitive to you than to actually not respond. And actually what I'm doing in that moment is I can slowly start callousing my heart, that I'm not even feeling that conviction anymore. Are you all with me this morning? Is it making sense? And so I want to encourage us, would we be a people that would respond to the Lord? When the Lord highlights something, that we would be those bringing it into the light, confessing it one to another, even as we see in James, that actually that the Lord would be able to bring healing even into our hearts. And so Jesus is calling us to be a people that would abide in him. But we know we've got to allow the Lord to, we've got to allow him to prune us, because God wants to prune us, but there's times where we can resist him by not responding to him. And our sin is going to be the thing that's going to hinder our abiding. And so the Lord is inviting us to abide in. He's inviting us to remain in him. And part of that is that that's not just coming on a Sunday or coming on a Wednesday. That's a daily, individual abiding in Christ. The Lord, even as Jesus said there, I call you friends. This is a relational walk with Jesus. The Lord is calling us to relationship with him. And part of a relationship is that we don't neglect the relationship, that it doesn't become a one-sided relationship. And I can tell you now, there's never anything lacking from the Lord's side. But from our side, are we abiding in him? Because it's a call to action from us. Are we pressing in with the Lord for ourselves? Are we prioritizing time with the Lord for ourselves? Are we having our quiet times? And they don't always have to be quiet. Do you know that? You can sing to the Lord. You can pray out loud to the Lord. He wants you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to pray. He wants you to be worshiping. And I want to encourage you, because I know oftentimes we can get very much stuck into, we have a little devotional, we quickly read through it, and there's nothing wrong with having those things. It's a great way of helping us. But don't get stuck into just ticking the box and going through the motions. Jesus is a relational God. He wants to have a relationship. He wants to come before him with thanksgiving. Come before him with going, Lord, these are things that are weighing heavy on me. He knows already, but he wants you to share them with him. He wants you to have a relationship with him. And so I want to encourage you, don't just get stuck in, I read the little devotion, I read the little prayer, and done. And we sometimes try and get through it as quick as we can, and okay, now my day starts. And don't hear what I'm not saying. It's nothing wrong having something to give you a framework or helping you. It's great. Sometimes we need something just to help us, just to, I get distracted very quickly. I'm like, this squirrel doesn't stay on the wheel. He sometimes is looking for another wheel. And so I've got to be very disciplined in my times, because the way my brain works, I can get very distracted very quickly. And my brain is constantly running. So I'm already thinking about everything else in the day that I need to do and what I need to do. And I have to discipline myself. I have to restrain myself to be able to focus on the Lord. And sometimes I have to pull myself back. But God wants to spend time with us. He wants us to carve out time one-on-one. Each one of us has got to walk out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Each one of us has got to cultivate, I can't have a relationship with Jesus for you. Only you can have a relationship with Jesus for yourself. And so if we come in only on a Sunday, and that's our moment where we're receiving the word, or we come in on community on a Wednesday, we are going to be spiritually undernourished. We need to be prioritizing. And I know that there's times where it can feel like, Lord, I'm not finding you, because God wants us to encounter him in our quiet times. We've got the word of God. We need to be reading the word of God. But we need to be going beyond just the word of God. In the sense, not beyond the scriptures. I'm talking about in the sense of pressing into him. Making sense? Don't hear what I'm saying? God wants a relationship, to be pressing in. I know sometimes if you don't worship the Lord, if you struggle in a corporate setting, sometimes you're going to struggle just on your own singing to Jesus. What a privilege to be able to worship him on your own when no one's watching. I want to encourage you, if you're not worshiping the Lord in your quiet time, I want to encourage you, get Spotify, get music, whatever on your phone, get a playlist and worship the Lord. Learn to worship the Lord in your quiet time. What a beautiful thing to be able to lift up his name, just you and him in that quiet space, in that secret space with him. And so I want to encourage you, cultivate. There's times where I've gone through my quiet time where I feel like, Lord, I'm not finding you. Sometimes my quiet times has felt dry, but I can't tap out because I know, Lord, is there anything in me? Is there sin in my life? Is there anything that's causing that? And sometimes God wants us to learn to hunger for him. And so sometimes God wants us to press in, that there would be this desire in our hearts for him. And sometimes we've got to actually prioritize time, and actually sometimes we have to do it out of a place of a discipline in order to find a breakthrough. And so we have to be pressing in to the Lord, abiding in him. You're with me. And so if your quiet times have been dry, or maybe you've just neglected it because life's been busy, I want to encourage you, prioritize time with the Lord. Press in to him. Abide in him. We're going to do that? And I know for some of you, this is something that you do. And I'm going to say, keep doing it. Keep pressing in. There's more even in that for you. But for those that haven't been, maybe that have neglecting actually just that place of abiding in him, come before the Lord in repentance and press into him. Because as we abide in him, actually it starts to produce fruit in our lives. And we see that even in Galatians 5, where we see Christ-like character being formed in us. There's fruit that is produced in our lives. There's obedience that flows from our lives. The outworking of it is actually love for one another comes out of that. We become effective witnesses and impact those around us when we've been spending time with Jesus. When we've been abiding in him, there's the outworking of that in our lives. So even as Gups read last week about Matthew 13, verse 44, it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. And again, for us, just even that, if we get into the place of like, oh, I've got to get up early, we've got to be going, Lord, forgive me that I've lost sight of you as my treasure. Last week, we considered Christ being our treasure. If he's our treasure, we want to spend time with him. We want to sacrifice whatever to be with him, to abide in him. And actually, I love this. It says, and then in his joy, went and sold all. In his joy. Is there joy in that? Like the joy of being able to be in the presence of the Lord. I'm trying to find the passage of scripture. Here we go. It says back John 15, 9 to 11 that I read. It says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. I know that sometimes the things of this world it's sort of masquerades as these things that will bring joy. Our flesh goes, the fruit of our flesh, it seems pleasing, it seems good, but the reality is the fruit of our flesh leads to destruction and death. And the fruit of the Spirit actually leads us to life and life in abundance. That actually there's joy, that we're not having to do this out of a place of duty or out of a place of like enduring, but actually what a joy that we get to come into his presence. And actually when we apply God's word to our life and we live according to his ways and we abide in him, there is such fullness of joy in his presence when we're spending time with him. That actually doesn't matter what we're going through in life, when we are going through trial or suffering, we can still have joy because it's the fruit of the Spirit at work within our lives. You're with me. I've jumped around, so I'm trying to find where I was. And I love this. It says, you did not choose me, but I chose you. The Lord has chosen us. And he has chosen us so that he has chosen you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give it to you. The Lord has chosen us and he has chosen us to bear fruit. He's chosen us to live lives that would bear fruit. Even as it's come through the prayer time this morning, earlier, it says in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen people. Consider that. You're a chosen people. The Lord chose us. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The Lord has chosen us to be a people that would bear good fruit. And it comes from that place of abiding in him. And so when Jesus is truly our treasure, abiding in him becomes your life. And loving others becomes the overflow. The very end of that passage in verse 17 in John 15, the outworking of us abiding in him is actually the outflow of that is actually the loving one another. This is the fruit that God is wanting to produce in us, is a love for one another, which is actually an overflow of abiding in him. So even today, as we go and have a picnic, part of that is to facilitate a time where we can actually truly get to know each other more so. So we're trying to facilitate a time where, because actually to truly love one another, to actually bear fruit is actually that we can't be strangers. We've got to know each other. And that's why we're building family. It's actually so that we can have an opportunity to live out the fruit of what God's doing amongst us.